Hello, Rebel! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome your wives, your sisters, your daughters, your girlfriends, fiancés, and even your female pets. What are you looking at while we're talking, mate? I'm not wearing anything.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Rebel Alliance isn't going to go away.
GW. I was going to say GW, and GW in my mind does not mean Gears Workshop.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Anyway.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I've never said to you, Fed, that you're wrong.
Yeah, if I lose, it means I wasn't trying. But if I win, I also wasn't trying.
Yeah.
I'm not a tryhard.
I wouldn't even call it a dicing. I would just say that he had more favorable plays than I had.
The other guy was not impressed.
What's the worst that can happen, right? What is the worst that can happen? Ladies and gentlemen, shoot Fed TV, everybody.
Yeah, it's like when you just decide that you don't care about your elves anymore and you're just gonna throw them at the ball until it works. Things can happen.
Oh, don't get me wrong, stop that. Bowman turns.
Did he really just say that right now to me with a straight face? Did he really just say an hour and a half to 2 hours? Stalling is for suckers after all.
Well, now that we've figured out that situation, guys, go and cage dive your ogre.
Take it away!
Oh, it's gonna be good, man.
Oh.
Hello, Rebel, and welcome to Rebel Alliance, episode 102. What you've missed is me trying to figure out how to start a podcast. You're going, what do we do? What's going on? How does it work? What are these buttons, and who are these people? Well, I'm Full Metal. I'm joined by Shootfed.
Hey! How's it going?
Hey,
it's super fed. It's super fed. I'm totally here. This is a podcast, right?
Yeah,
we do.
I felt like you were exactly following on my lead of what do we do next? Like you got the mm-hmm. You got the hey, it's me, and then you were like, now what?
Podcast things.
We're joined by a guest. That's his first time here, so we're all going to be super nice to him. That's not likely to happen. it's Finns. If you don't know him, he streams a bit. He is a good friend of us, ours. He's an admin. That's why he's a good friend of ours. That's the word. he's an admin. You don't know that. No, he's a good lad. Good lad. He plays in Ariel, despite being English, which is confusing, but we let him have that one.
Yep.
How are you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. I'm...
We're going to ask you the question that we're always scared to ask when new guests come on the show. Do you listen to the show?
I do, yeah. I do.
You'd be surprised the amount of people get on and goes, no, I've never seen these people before in my life. It's like, that's not helpful.
Yeah, I did try to catch up on the last episode because I missed it. But other than that,
I wouldn't say you missed it.
I think you've missed about as much as we have at this point, which is all of the episodes. No, really, guys, we are sorry. It's been a while. Like I've said in the past, like this lockdown thing has completely destroyed my free time, and it's been really difficult to schedule this. And Harrington put it best, I think. Like, we were talking to Zord about this, how he was doing through lockdown and stuff. And he turned around and said, well, you know, it's weird. Like, you don't want to, you know, you're working from home now. Most people are working from home now. And you're at the point where you sit there on your computer all day. You don't want to sit down and have to do, like, Rebel admin and work and stuff. You know what I mean? It feels like more of a job than it ever felt in the past, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess you're getting this fed as well, because you're working from home, aren't you, at the moment?
Oh, yeah. I've been working from home, but I think before most people. Like, as soon as this started to go around, my work just said, yeah, you know, you can work from home now. And, there's been an adjustment period. I like it, but at the same time, some of the Blood Bowl stuff, it's just, it's out of mind. And out of, like, because this is now my workstation, I'm like, I'm going to do some work. And then, you know, I'll get pinged later, where normally it would be the other way around, where I'm at work. And I'll get pinged, and I'll be like, okay, I can take 5 minutes to address this issue, and then go back to work. Whereas here, I'm like,
this is my work.
I'm doing both. So yeah, it's been an adjustment for sure.
Meanwhile, Finns has been swearing at me almost every week about how stupid his work has been about lockdown. So that's, you know, he's not working from home.
Yeah. I mean, we got the good news today that we can potentially open from the start of next month.
I feel like that good was in, like, quotation marks, like, Doctor Who's good.
Yeah, so for anyone that doesn't know, I work in a casino, and if you can't imagine, casinos are the worst possible place for spreading germs and viruses. And
you've got to say, there's an interesting and wonderful analogy we made here of how your job is to work in a casino and your hobby is entirely based around luck and
RNG
and random numbers. It's like, have you not learned your lesson from watching everyone else lose all of their money and soul? And
yeah, well, it's like I used to play poker, and I thought, oh, it'd be a good idea to get a job in poker, and then, I don't play poker anymore. But I've just replaced it with Blood Bowl, so... But at least there's no money involved for me now.
Everyone at home can take note that the word poker was not said first by me this episode.
I knew you'd enjoy that.
Someone gave him the Superfed in. It's like the... Did you know that Blood Bowl is all like poker? Did you know that?
There are similarities.
Oh god. You know what, actually, poker's a very mental game, and I know that, and I was watching Shadara play CR Boys earlier. Liscaris has been streaming it, and you could see the exact moment where Shadara's mental went to absolute trash, and it was about 30 seconds into turn two. And I've seen that app when you're playing poker as well, when someone's just completely just got the worst hand and they were like, oh, I was supposed to be a winner. And it's just like, you can, you know, you see the colour drain out of it and it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did not have a fun day, did he?
Did anyone else catch that game? Game you should catch, right? And I'm going to promote XS because he's been doing incredible work, right? Like, the guy has been living his best life during lockdown by streaming, like, more than I think any other member of Rebel right now. He's doing his damnedest to cover as many games as possible, like, every weekend. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, because
I actually have a really funny anecdote on that one.
Well,
so XS was streaming some random big O Div 1 game. This is weeks back, and my girlfriend and I have been just randomly popping into Blood Bowl streams and catching some of the games and stuff. And I jump in on a game, and to say it was a game might have been generous. There were some interesting decisions being made. Potato is even polite. And I just leave one comment there, and XS immediately recognizes that it was me in the chat and just starts going, oh, you know, this isn't the best of Big O, certainly. I know it's Div, because I asked what Div it was. He's like, it's Div 1, but, you know, it's a rough game. There's some tilted players. And he just got on the back foot right away. And I'm like, oh, it's all right. It's all right. I've been Div 1. Well, we have our rough games as well. But it was hilarious. But, yeah, I've caught a lot of his streams.
I just sent you a PM, Fed, because I'm not going to name and shame, but I've just made a guess based on what you've told me who it was. And I just need a yes or a no.
I believe that was one of the coaches, yes.
Sorry, that was entirely like an in-joke between me and Super Fed, and you guys, you're never going to know, but let's just say I got it right. But yeah, no, if you want to catch a game that went roller coaster from start to finish, and you'll know that this is how his games always go anyway, Fed, as soon as I say the name of one of the coaches involved. Calorick took the field this afternoon against CR Boys, and I don't know if you caught that match this afternoon.
No.
Oh my god. It was such a game. It was, you know, a 2-2 draw doesn't truly describe...
Ooh. Oh, I've just looked at the match report. Oh, my God.
Okay, right. You've got to remember that the Necro team is punching Bretts, so they don't actually have 84 blocks thrown. They have Fend bug blocks thrown. They've got about 60. Just all I'm going to say is I don't want to spoil anything about this game. I want everyone who gets an hour or two free to just go and chill and watch Liscaris's coverage of that, because it's XS in Discord, but it's Liscaris on Twitch, to go and watch his coverage of that game, because it was entirely ridiculous. It was amazing. It was so good. And it was... It's just so hard to not spoil. Right, it's a 2-2, but all of each team's touchdowns were only scored on one drive each. Not the same drive. They didn't score four in a half. But I'm just saying, both of each team's touchdowns happened in one drive, and then the other ones happened in the other drive.
Oh, wow.
So there was turnovers, and it was the brilliance of it was that the turnover to draw tie up the game was an almost exact mirror of the turnover in the first half to go 2-0 up. It was beautiful. It was such, like, it was exactly, you know, like you see these games and you go, this is why Blood Bowl is a fucking amazing game, and that's my one.
Wow, got it out really early.
Yeah, I'm getting out of the way. No,
I think, you know, this is a COVID and lack of regular Blood Bowl.
It's a lack of talking to other human beings that aren't A, my missus, and B, my kids. It's like,
yeah.
But yeah, genuinely, it was testament, that game, to exactly why I think we love playing this game.
Mm-hmm. Because
it was nuts. It was so stupid. and it was so enjoyable to watch.
I'll have to check that out.
What was I going to say? Yeah, so other things that have been happening around... What else has been happening around Rebel? We're coming out of
Before we go to the news around Rebel, isn't there news around Blood Bowl?
Is there news around Blood Bowl?
Lack of news around Blood Bowl that made the news?
That was so much fun.
I think it's worthy of talking about on the podcast.
Talk about it on the podcast then, Fed. You can lead. I know exactly what you're going to say. It's actually kind of funny, but I'm assuming you've got the angle that you want to sell this. So push.
Well, not necessarily. What was the name of the event? So I guess everybody hyped themselves up in the community of Blood Bowl because, as everyone's well aware, Cyanide was bought by Big Ben, and Big Ben has their expo thing that they do every year, and last year was when we first were told that Blood Bowl 3 was coming and that there was a update to the rules, and then immediately that whole video got edited and they cut out Blood Bowl 3 and they pretended like that announcement never occurred, because what is the internet anyway? No one will remember if we take something away from the internet. And
yeah, as if that picture wasn't immediately saved and
right, and put screenshot out across every Discord everywhere. And so I guess the community expected there to be some kind of announcement or update this year, maybe clarifying or even just acknowledging the existence of the game that they said they were making and then said they weren't making, without making a single peep about it for the last 12 months.
Yeah, I think the real amazing part of Big Ben buying Cyanide is that we finally found a developer that is worse at communication than Focus.
Yeah.
Because they are. They're so bad.
I mean, that's why they're naturally well-equipped to work with Gears Workshop. So
Games Workshop.
Games Workshop, Gear Workshop, whatever, GW. I want to say GW, but I know where that'll lead me, so I don't get to say that.
As if you don't have that tab saved anywhere. Like,
right. No, I don't worry about that anymore. So, I would say everyone expected this, there was a lot of hype, and then there was nothing.
You know my favorite thing to come out of this whole there was an event and then there wasn't an event, but there was an event but they weren't talking about it anywhere, was the discovery that I think Majorbyte made of this one random dude who has literally spent the last 12 months almost weekly tweeting at Big Ben asking where Blood Bowl 3 is. I don't know if you saw that in the admin channel.
Yep. Yeah, that was great.
But literally, almost weekly, he's tweeted at them going, but what about Blood Bowl? But what about Blood Bowl? But dude, what about Blood Bowl?
Yeah.
We are a weird community.
I don't even know who he is. I don't recognize him. I don't even know if he's one of ours.
Probably not ours, but I'm just saying Blood Bowl gamers as a whole are a weird community.
I mean, I've discussed this, like, I was talking to Gerber the other day, like, during my clan match. I was, you know, because you can chat to your clan mates during setups. And I already had a rough match anyway because I was going up against Chaos. And I was like, it was one of those games where everything that could go wrong early went wrong early. Like, when you're Orcs against Chaos and you lose two Black Orcs, I lost three Black Orcs by the end of the third turn. Two of them were two non-Mighty Blow, non-Claw blocks.
Nice. Pretty normal.
That's, like,
going to feel good.
When that happens, you know what I mean? It's like, you wonder, why do I even play this game? Like,
yep.
It was, you know, because at that point, you're just looking down the barrel of another 12 to 13 turns of being claw-pombed. Ooh,
yeah, I had a playoff game that went just like that.
This is a fun game because I can't fight back anymore because I've lost all of my strength and guard. Woo! What really didn't help was the fact that my counterpunch had about a 20% knockdown rate.
Yeah, well, those halves happen.
It was just one of those games. It was just, but the point was, I was like, I mentioned, made a comment during the setup for the second half going, you know what, some days I think, like, Blood Bowl coaches just really like punching themselves in the nuts, but aren't a fan of pain.
are we transitioning, is that the transition into our games of the week? That resembles the feeling that I had this week.
I mean, doesn't that resemble the feeling of playing Skaven every week?
Yes.
Not always.
Like, as an ex-Skaven coach myself, and as you are both active Skaven coaches, is that not exactly how playing Skaven works?
If you outnumber your opponent as Skaven, it does not feel that way.
Yeah, but the only time you outnumber your opponent as Skaven is pre-match.
No, that's not how I've been playing them.
How do you have a roster right now? Like, last time I saw your team, it had six players.
If I didn't lose a line rat this past week, I would have been able to buy a bench for the first time in three seasons. I would have actually had a bench.
But you lost a line.
But I lost a line rat this week, so I have to delay at least one more week. We'll see. But do you want me to transition from where you were as a coach who loves to punch himself in the nuts? That satisfactory feeling? Because that's how my game went this week. This week I played against B-Dog, who is a human coach who has high TV humans in Div 1.
You've got to give him credit for having high TV humans in Div 1, because that's no easy feat.
He is currently in second place in Div 1 of Rel with high TV humans. I don't know, man. That team is gnarly. But they can roll 3+ and 4+ like nobody's business. I don't know. That was a game. I had a wizard. That was it for my inducements. No bench. And so I knew that was going to be a little risky on the number side of things. He had a dirty player and didn't get sent off and the first 9 fouls, if that gives you an idea of how that match ended up.
As someone who likes fouling, though, that's the dream, right?
Yeah. He was able to pitch clear me. I got my wizard was a 1, so I made the decision.
I mean, of course it was. At this point,
I guess I'll start from the beginning. I made the decision to separate half of his team and hug on one side of the pitch, where I could have numbers and try and fight him for my own numbers. And I got a couple Kaz that way. But he appled the Kaz on his killer, so that guy was coming back. And instead of doing what I had expected him to do, which was to safely secure the ball and, you know, move up the pitch, he decided to just potato and devote all of the rest of his humans to the fight against the rats. Well, that doesn't go well for the rats. But I was able to reposition back on the ball, and so I mean,
assuming you can break your gut runners free, that's probably okay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it absolutely was. And he was completely starchy potato land after doing a series of two dodges, a pass, two catches, with a handoff and a pass and catch. All on Agi 3 humans. He doesn't have Agi 4. And one turn to get the ball, you know, moved down the field, but not to anywhere safe. It was still within range of three gutter runners. And so that's when, of course, the wizard fails. And then the blitz fails. It just gets pushes. And so then I'm like, oh no. Oh no. I guess I'm playing for the tie. And then as soon as I said the words, I'm playing for the tie. Kaz. 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 Yeah. Deadline rat. Dead gutter runner. Apode. Kaz. All of them just come nonstop. And so I was able to counterscore because he scored on like turn four. So it was 1-1 at the half, but every single turn I lost another rat until about turn 12 when it was my drive. I had a 3+, 2+, 2+ in order to draw or go up to 1, which would have been the draw. And I failed the first 3+ I made of the game. Oof. after watching him make 3+ all day. And he just catches the ball off the scatter, so no way to recover it. Everybody's stunned, and that was game. He just slowly walked down the pitch while fouling every turn, doing the humans proud. But yeah,
you know what? Right? As your friend, I feel bad that happened to you. As a big fan of seeing humans do well, go humans, man.
Yeah, I think it'll be if he doesn't take any major damage in the next 4 weeks that are left. I think it'll be the best looking human team to go into the playoffs that isn't just a stat freak market boosted human team.
I'm just going to take a pause ever. And.
I know I said market. Everyone get out your guns
and
prepare to riot. But seriously, the every other human team that's made the playoffs. And no humans have actually ever made a deep run in playoffs. But every other human team that's made it to playoffs has had at least 3 stat-up players. I think the only stat-up on his team is a movement-up catcher, which is kind of a one-turner.
That's like a pseudo really one-turner. Impressive, then, that he's doing so well. Like
That's what I'm saying. He's got it built in a way that I really appreciate. He's got his straight killer. He's got his semi-killer that doesn't have palm but has, you know, guard and stand firm and plenty of tackle on the team. He's well-rounded in the way that humans are supposed to be. You know, it's not playing the Agi game. It's not playing... I mean, it can. He clearly pulled off the Agi baloney and malarkey against me, but he is not just playing the Bash game either. He's kind of right in between in that sweet spot, which is really what the human race is supposed to be, you know, built like.
Well, they certainly tell you that that's how they're supposed to work, right? This is the weird thing about like Blood Bowl. No, like humans and Blood Bowl and stuff, and you set up like, well, humans are the jack of all trades, right? That's supposed to be their strength, is that they play the Agi game against Bash teams and the Bash game against Agi teams, and they live in the margins somewhere in between where they get to pull off like these wins because they play to their opponent's weakness rather than their own strengths. But we were having this conversation in Excessive Stream, actually. I always found it weird that selling a jack-of-all-trades team that, like any of the human races, really, are all fairly reliant on getting, like, doubles or stats. It's, you know, commonly heard thing. Human teams do really well if they get lots of doubles or stats. Amazon teams do really well if they get lots of doubles or stats. Kislev obviously love their agi ups and their strength ups. You know, Bretonians do really well if they get doubles or stats. But the problem is, right, you're pitching these kind of human teams that are jack of all trades that get really good when they roll doubles or stats. But then you have to play them against all of these specialist teams that are also allowed, I don't know if you're aware of this, they're also allowed to roll doubles or stats too. And it's like, but hang on. They do all of the stuff that we do now. Yeah. Like, an elf that rolls plus strength and mighty blow is terror. You know what I mean? It's like, because it's still an elf. You know, I'm right.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Like, humans with the stat ups catch up to elves with those things. But when, like, I guess that's what really stood out to me was he was the quote unquote human team that was out bashing the Agi team in our matchup. And I've seen him out Agi many, many bash teams. I haven't seen him play elves yet. And we do have a couple high elf teams that have a lot of stats. So I'll have to see how he does against, you know, like Not for Science or Ramoset.
I mean, isn't Not for Science's team designed to be bashed on? I mean, isn't that what you do? Yeah, you win, he beats you, but you bash on him.
Right.
Somebody asked me the other day if he was going to retire a player that took a niggle, and that person got laughed out of the building.
It's like, have you not met this guy? Like, of course not.
Stat busts just make your team more durable.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what though? There is always that thing that sometimes, like, having a niggle here or there on your team is kind of okay, because you get these coaches that, like, if you've ever
seethe at the mouth, like, they're just
no, but there's, like, Gerber does this too, right? Like, I've heard him. You've got to go for the niggle. It's like, yeah, but it's a lineman over there.
Yeah, exactly. It's on the far side of the pitch. You set it up like on the edge, and it's like, no, there's a niggle though. I'm gonna go through the guy with the niggle every single time.
So you can kind of use that. Like, I've seen CheeseX beat Gengar, right? And by Gengar's old Kenry team, that was ridiculous. Right, because what he did, he had a niggled blitzer that he ran over to one side of the pitch, and he ran the rest of his team to the other side of the pitch. It was his drive. And instead of Gengar going, I'm a Kenry team, I'm going to get in their way, he went, I need to foul that niggled player for the next 8 turns. And just completely conceded the drive, because you have to kill the niggle! It's just like, oh no. And I feel like Not for Science channels our innate desire to go for those injured pieces. I think I've landed, I would say it's
definitely worked for him in the past. I don't think it's working this well this season. This season, it's not his season.
Well, no king, no king rules forever, my son.
That's true.
Sorry,
I'm sure I will find that out next season.
Random wow quote for you there, just for spice.
Because I am still, even despite that loss, I am still the king of Rell.
How are you the king of Rell right now? Like, what?
I don't lose until I lose.
You don't lose until you lose? That's a strategy. That is...
I've only lost twice.
That's pretty good.
A decent run. The two teams I have lost to are the humans and then Big Chuck and his chaos. Oh, is it Big Chuck? Yeah, I lost Big Chuck.
How is Finn's season going?
I haven't had a game this week because I'm in Div 5, the split, and my game is on Sunday. But
are you in the play-ins or are you in the training grounds?
I'm in the play-ins, and I'm pretty.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure I'm the last coach in Rell to have a 100% record.
Ooh, what are you playing?
Skaven.
Oh, okay. So you're one of those. You
only play Skaven.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, I looked at my team at the end of last season after losing my Edge 5 natural one turner and everyone else taking AV busts and niggles, and I just went, yeah. If I take this team to row one, it's just gonna explode.
So you literally saw the situation that Superfed saw, and where he saw challenge, you saw intelligence.
Yeah, well, like, it would have gone one of two ways, right? It would have gone like Superfed season, or it would have gone a bit like Toast Guys, who's not had a bad season, but he's just had quite a few games where he's gotten murdered.
Toast Guy came in higher TV. He had all his stuff. He just lost it along the way, whereas I came in fully prepared for Inducement Rats, and I have played Inducement Rats the whole time and, you know, managed to regrow a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so I've got to ask, Finns, what happened to you as a child that makes you only play Skaven? Like, did your parents put cigarettes out on you or something? Or
I have no idea. I just kind of, they were the first team that I really liked when I was learning the game and got on with. But I don't just play Skaven. I just only play Skaven here.
I don't know. I find it weird. Like I couldn't sit and just play one team. I've really enjoyed. I know a lot of people just think, oh, Metal just rolls to whatever he's doing at the time and just makes it up as he's going along. And it's not that at all. I look at the way I've played in the last season or two and go, what is missing from my game? I'm going to play a team that's has to play that way to try and expand my skill set at the moment. Because I've played so many teams so often. You know what I mean? I've been playing for 30 years, 25 years or something stupid. It's about 26 years, I think. So I've played most of the teams that, you know, I've played some of these teams in forms that they literally don't exist anymore, you know what I mean? So it's kind of, now it's more a case of just playing, I'm trying, you know, it is, the Blood Bowl skill I think is one of those, it's the kind of skill that you can lose if you don't keep sharp with it over time.
Yeah.
And so it is, I think, sometimes it's a good idea to play, I played Nurgle because I'd just come off, four seasons of Rats, and I was like, you know what, I've never been particularly strong at Bash teams, so I'm going to play a team that has to play, the Bash control game to work on my Bash control game.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I've done.
I did the same thing, actually. I joined WCW and went, I'm going to play Nurgle. And had a terrible season of Nurgle, but overall it made me a better coach, learning to play that side of the game.
It is worthy of note that your first season on Nurgle is almost always a terrible season of Nurgle. It doesn't
Seasons two and three have been equally awful.
Oh, that's not good. But yeah, that's always kind of mindset when it comes to rolling a new team. It tends to be to try and encourage me to have to play. I'm gonna play Wood Elves at some point, I think, in G-Man. When I think when the Necro re-roll, it's either gonna be Wood Elves, which everyone's gonna love me for because they get to kill my Wood Elves, or it's gonna be Chorfs, which everyone's gonna hate me for.
These Chorfs are my backup because, and again, everyone knows I'm a tryhard. After playing Kislev and saying, okay, I wanted to be the guy that could do unlikely things with a improbable team.
You want to now do likely things with a probable team?
No, I don't want to. I just want to win. I want to win Rebel. That's all I want. That's literally all I want. And, Skaven, I think, are literally the best way for me to do it.
So you're playing the I've got Clawpom, one Super Bowl, please. Ticket.
I got Clawpom, a one turner, and a Agi 5 sure hands.
I can't believe your Agi 5 still alive. God. Is it niggled?
No, it's just moveboat busted. I don't have any niggles right now. I have an AV bust on my Clawpommer. That's my only real nasty one, and then the movement bust on the.
No, I knew your Agi had got injured. I couldn't remember what it was. It was a movement.
Yeah. But the strength. Now I have a strength 3 sacker. It's great. My team's looking great. As long as it can stay that way to playoffs, I have a pretty good shot.
Until you roll a 1 on your wizard.
But if my team gets destroyed, rather than re-rolling into rats again, I would probably be looking at Chorf. Because I've already done orcs, and I could do an orc run. It would be 2 or 3 seasons, I think, to really get a good playoff run. And it would be just trying to avoid those killer games where you lose all your team to Claw. But I think it's feasible that an orc wins the Super Bowl. It's not like it's a stretch. I think it's feasible.
You know what? An orc team, I reckon, truly needs to win the Super Bowl is it needs to come into the final 2 or 3 games of the playoff run where you start hitting the, you know, because obviously the first few games you might get some really tough opponents, you know. But you might get some easier opponents too. It's really, you know, the first 3 games I think are a bit scattershot.
Whereas you're likely to play lizards in the first couple rounds, which is the perfect match for orcs.
Yeah, but you get to the point where you get to the last couple of rounds where you're getting the best of the best, where you've kind of slimmed the field down and you've got you know, your that one guy
sage,
who's...
toast guy, travel scrap.
Yeah, yeah, you've got that one guy who's made it there because he's got claw palm and it worked. You've got the... But if you can hit those last three games with four Black Orcs that have block, guard, and stand firm, you're probably in a really good spot to win. Because that's... Four Black Orcs with block, guard, and stand firm can solve most problems. You need to develop blitzers, but blitzers are always developed because it's easy to get them SPP.
No. Yeah. I mean, you just gotta have a decent team in shape without too many injuries.
I think that's why Dreamify went so well. Dreamify had killer Blackhawks.
Right.
And people really struggled with them until Mongoose's Loose went, yeah, I've got Claw.
Yeah, definitely. If I look at the teams that have made the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl, the Chorfs are definitely the straightest shot of just one path, one note, build your team up, get your Claw, get your Mighty Blow, get your Piling on.
But I saw this when you tried to play Necro. You know, you need a double for that Claw on your...
For Claw. It's that's why it's probably a couple seasons of building with Chorfs.
Mind you, you've been doing it with Skaven. You need a double there too, and you've got that, so... Yeah. I just remember the werewolf that got rerolled. The Necro team that lasted 4 weeks because all my zombies leveled and my wolves didn't get Mighty Blow.
Yeah, I think Necro's just as strong as Chorfs or Rats at winning the Super Bowl, but because regen is so good, it makes up for a lot of those other gaps. But
doesn't work, you realize that regen can often not work. Like in the game I played the other week, where my team just completely exploded against Orcs, and I ended up with a niggled.
If you didn't have regen, your team would still have exploded.
Yes, but I would have had an apple.
But the games that your regen does work, you would, like the apple, it doesn't make a difference. Like regen is just overall stronger. Period.
Look, right. All I'm saying is I'm salty because an orc on turn 16 with no rerolls before he scored used an unskilled Black Orc to punch my stand firm guard zombie to death.
Yeah, that happens.
Unskilled. No Mighty Blow, nothing. Just went whap. I was like, oh, okay. And then, of course, it didn't regen.
That was how I lost my first Storm Vermin.
As soon as you give guard to a zombie, regen turns off.
True.
Yep.
I don't... every flipping time. Like, as soon as you give guard to a player like a zombie, the regen's gone. It's over. It's done. Yeah. However, I did explode a high elf team this week. Like, really explode. Like, to the point where I actually felt bad, and I stopped fouling, and my opponent went, you should keep fouling.
Oh my god.
No, I want to give him this credit. He was such a lovely guy, right? And he smart guy, and he was fun to play, and he took, like, it was a kicking. It was such a one-sided, you know when you niggle two players on turn one, and KO a third, and one of the players you niggle is a guard player? Like, you just know you're going to have a good game, and they're going to have a terrible game. He threw 11 blocks all game, and it wasn't because he soft conceded, it was because he literally didn't have any players to punch with. I only threw 29 and got 16 armor breaks, although I did foul a lot. But my 16 armor breaks gave me 4 KOs, 7 Kaz, and a kill.
That's not bad. It's a statement.
I also killed Eldrill because that's fun.
That always happens, doesn't it?
But I MNG'd a Blodge Catcher. I killed Eldrill. I niggled his guard lineman. I MNG'd a Blodge sidestep tackle minus movement catcher. I niggled a lineman, and I MNG'd a loner. It's like, it wasn't a good game. And it was like, I'd given up, and I just surrounded his down players, and I was saying, like, and we were just chatting as the game was going. He's like, why aren't you fouling? And I was like, well, I don't need to. And he was like, yeah, but, like, I can do a 3+2, and he proceeds to do like a 3+3+ to get a one dice on the ball and doesn't get anything out of it. And he's like, you should have fouled that player. And I was like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, but you've got three elves left on the pitch and I'm already winning 2-0. Why do I need to foul up? The worst thing that happens is I don't level this werewolf right now. And it's like, but I do level the werewolf.
Merciful.
No, I mean, there's a point where I need him to be in good shape because he's still got to play some key opponents in my division. He's third, so like he's still in a competitive spot. I'm second, so I'm above him. Right, that's fine.
That's all the more reason for you to foul him.
No, because if he beats one of the other guys that are in our div, that's good for me because some of the other guys are real close too. I think he's still got to play our division leader, for example. From memory. Yeah. And I need... If he beats our division leader, that's really good for me. Because our division leader beat me. Carlos Sibbs, if you know him. Great coach. Mm. Absolutely battered me. but yeah, so I just... I went into this game knowing that my Mighty Blow Claw, my Mighty Blow Werewolf was niggled, and I was like, that's obviously frustrating, but whatever. But my other wolf has just rolled three normals. It was like Blodge, Sure Hands. And I was like, I'm playing High Elves. And I know he gets... he didn't get any induce. He got like a two babes or something. He didn't get much. Oh no, he got Eldrill as his inducement.
Yeah.
He got Eldrill. And I was like, well, yeah, okay, that's fine. And he got a wizard. And he was always getting Eldrill and a wizard. But because I flogged my wolf, I cut my TV by 60k and he didn't get any babes, if I remember correctly. So it was like, you know, tactical. And it was one of those things where I know I'm playing High Elves, right? Like, if this goes well for me early, that's a game where I can level a Rookie Wolf. And I did, because I won 3-0. Mm-hmm. My first touchdown was stealing the ball off him. My first touchdown was having the ball taken off me, taking it back, and then having the only player upfield be a Flesh Golem. So my Agi4 White just chucked it upfield to a Flesh Golem without a reroll. Nice. And who caught it? he's like, you know what? I'm fine with a lot of things, but that Flesh Golem catching that ball really upsets me. I was like, the thing was, right, I didn't need him to catch the ball. It's great that he caught the ball, because he could score with it, but my Agi White could still have scored anywhere in a couple of turns. I had two turns left or something. But I threw it to the Flesh Golem, because the Agi White's in your player's range and the Flesh Golem isn't. So if the Flesh Golem catches it, he's not in your range, and the Flesh Golem caught it. If the Flesh Golem doesn't catch it, the ball's still not in your range. I didn't need him to catch it. Him catching it was just a nice bonus, which is why I threw it to the Flesh Golem and not the floor. The fact that he caught it was just like, I was quite happy, I'm not going to lie. It's not often you get a Flesh Golem touchdown, and it feels so good. So yeah, that was my game this week. It was brutal. I paid for it with the Chaos game where my Orc team exploded. So, if you're listening, dude, like, yes, you took a kicking, but I got it back in just, it was Haligun it was. I never played him before. He's playing a team called Smoked and Cured in 4C. And genuinely, lovely dude. Would play him again any amount of times. And not because I beat him, but because he... Like I say, I've never ever in my life... And I foul a lot. I've never been encouraged to foul more. By anyone. So that was quite an experience. You should foul it, dude. What? That's not how this works.
You're not supposed to kill my players.
Crack on, dude. I don't know. It was such a weird experience. I quite enjoyed that conversation. Yeah. So, you're playing clan as well, aren't you, Finns?
Yeah.
Who are you playing for? Because like, you were second. It sounds horrible. You were second choice for metal. If McNugget, because I'd already approached McNugget to join our clan, and if he'd have not joined because he'd stayed with Rodda, you'd have come in. That's why, you know, it was close. Yeah. It wasn't like, well, we'd much prefer McNugget over Finns. It was.
No, it's all good. Yeah, I mean, I almost, my clan basically collapsed.
Was it your fault?
No. Everyone just kind of blood bowl burnout hit them all at the same time.
There's a lot of that going around at the moment. So I've heard.
It took us till the last round to get a win, I think. Something like that. So yeah, it was just an awful season, and clan imploded. And yeah, I almost went to World, then I almost went to Battle, and in the end, I'm playing Clyde. So with Doof, Archangel, Rex, and Batblood.
World just battered us this week. It was not a fun round. McNugget got styled on 2-0 by Kislev.
He's the boss, though, right?
Yeah, he is the boss. Me and Nugget are the bosses. He's playing Bretonians and I'm playing Orcs.
You bust Kislev?
No, he's Bretonians.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He got batted by Kislev.
So they made the pro move of putting Kislev on the bus, knowing that Kislev would win.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, Kislev into Bretonians is quite a good game for the Bretonians.
That's what I'm thinking, actually. That seems like a good Kislev matchup.
Who's playing their Kislev?
Someone that isn't Ornn. Oh, I sorry, I know that. I know three of their dudes. Where are we? Ornn drew a Bleeding Hippie 2-2, which was High Elves versus Skaven. But he killed a
wrestle strip governor.
Captain Bubsy beat Nugget 2-0. Kislev into Bretonians in one of the most boring match reports ever. Phil Fish beat me 1-0. Mm-hmm. And Practical Snow beat my Stairs 2-1 and killed his War Dancer. But it was only a rookie, so no one really cares.
Mm.
So it was, yeah, we suffered a little bit at the hands of World, whereas the previous week was absolutely savage. We rolled over NFC so hard. I think it was 4 wins and a draw. My Stairs went 4-1 against Lizards in the first game. Oh no, Gerber got beaten. Sorry, it was 3-1-2. Big Easy beat Gerber. And then McNugget beat Lizards 2-0. And then I beat Stazy's Vampires 2-0 in what was a mirror of how brutal my game this week was. Yeah, there's a lot of blood being shed in Clan. Which is weird, because I always remember, like, when we first introduced EIC, or when, like, EIC was always discussed, I always remember, like, Travel Scrabble and stuff telling me how Clan, you know, the problem with Clan was that all of these superstars just can't be killed because EIC exists. And I was like, have you not seen that the amount of blood that comes out of Clan in week one? Like,
yeah,
in just 1 week of Clan, like, the amount of EICs that get blown in week one is staggering. Even we've used ours, because you have to use it on my stairs as a good one, and so. So yeah. So if you'd have been in World, you'd have beaten us this round. Let's just say.
Yeah. Well, we won our first round. We did the Rodder strat of winning the first game and then getting a load of draws.
I don't know how I feel about draws in Clan.
You're not liking it so far?
I don't know if I like the feel of it, to be honest. I mean, bearing in mind I was playing for a draw this week. And I still didn't necessarily like it. I knew if I went to overtime I'd lost, so the draw would have been preferential, but I just don't know if I like draws in Clan.
Yeah. Like I've switched to playing dwarfs, and somebody said to me, isn't that like just strictly worse now without overtime? Like, you can't win games, you just draw games. I'm like, yeah, but I don't necessarily win all those games that I take to overtime, right? Like, I lose half of them because I lose the cost, so it's kind of the same, but I don't know. We'll see at the end of the season, I guess.
I think it'll be interesting to see how the feedback. I've been trying to keep up on the feedback like week by week, saying that's like, you know, what's going on and how people are feeling about it and what people are saying about it and, you know, the response when they see draws and stuff. And everyone kind of just seems to be going, eh? I don't think there's anyone who's going, oh, I love that fact that I just got a draw.
Yeah, there was a couple of people week one that went, my game just ended. It didn't go to overtime. What's going on?
To which I reply, there's a rule pack. You should read it.
You mean people didn't read something that we put out as an announcement?
Right. And I know that Clan rules are pretty hefty. It's a pretty hefty document. But we're pretty good when it comes to adding, changing, and amending rules in Clan. We highlight them in red.
Yeah.
Literally, it's in red text to let you know this is the bit you need to know so you don't have to read the rules in full every season.
Yeah. It's amazing how crazy it is that you can make it as easy as possible and people will still not read it.
I hear that's happened elsewhere in Rebel recently.
I mean, it's never stopped. It's always been a thing.
No, but I don't know if you're aware, but there's been a couple of interesting responses to the split. I don't know if you're aware of that, Fed, but there's been
Have been purposefully trying to avoid the split issues because I don't know. There's a lot to it, and since it doesn't impact me when I'm in Div 1, I'm hoping that I just never have to reroll. No, I know. I will weigh in on the issues, but it's the way that it's gone is interesting. But I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, to your point, it doesn't matter. We can make whatever decisions we make and put those out there. People are still not going to read it. And
look, I think my favorite thing about that came out of the split, and it took people by surprise, and everyone was like, "What?" Someone was generally like, "Well, I didn't read the. I've got the announcement channel muted."
I saw that one.
What?
If there's one channel you don't want to mute,
yeah, literally, there's one flipping channel that we, and it's like, I get that you could say, well, I get a lot of pings from at the start of the season, but it's almost like, and some of them aren't relevant to me. Okay, but most of them are.
That's the whole point of the channel is, hey, we made this a separate channel, so you don't ignore it.
You could mute the entire rest of Rebel server and leave announcements unmuted.
We could make one. We can make a separate email box for specific communication that impacts those people, and we email those people, and they still wouldn't read that email.
I've had people saying like we should send private messages out to people and stuff, and because they'll read it. And I'm like, are you for real? Like,
no.
You do realize like Discord PMs, you get shut down by Clydebot after you send about 30 because he thinks you're a spammer.
Yeah.
Like, Clydebot, you get to a point where you've sent out too many PMs. Clydebot just goes, no. You have sent out too many PMs. You must wait 30 minutes before you send more PMs. So, we'd either need every single one of our admins to take a group of 30 people and message them. Or we'd need one admin to take about 2 days to message everyone. Like, read your
damn they still won't even read it. They still wouldn't even read the messages.
And also, interestingly enough, because we've had complaints about why we use Discord to communicate so much, it's also pinned on Reddit. And if you're going to tell me you've got announcements muted and you don't go to Reddit, do you want to just leave so I don't have to ban you in about 6 more weeks?
Yeah, you're just waiting to get banned at that point because you're going to miss something.
Oh, the rules that you didn't read, by the way, have a specific quote in them that says, not knowing this rule is not a defense.
It's an important rule.
There is no claim of I didn't know that rule didn't exist because the rules are there. If you didn't choose to read them, that's not on us. Ever.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if you got out in your car and were speeding and ran a dude down, you'd still get arrested for that. I don't think you need to know the law to break it.
Yeah. I think we're at the point now where we've just kind of accepted that we put out announcements and do put them out as best we can, and some people just aren't going to read it and there's nothing we can do, right?
I can rant about it on the podcast.
Yeah, but when it comes to training ground specifically, it's
a little bit... Okay, right. I didn't know that the split exists. Right, did you not stop and go, this is a bit weird, my schedule only goes to week 9. Where's the rest of my games?
Mm-hmm.
Like...
And I think this season's been worse with lockdown and everything. Like, everyone's just a little bit extra out of it as well.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, like, I think with what's going on in the world, I think we need Blood Bowl more than ever as a distraction. Yet, at the same time, scheduling feels like a chore and...
Yeah.
It's all a bit stressy. I get all of that. I get all of that. But... Like, you've got to understand the rules.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you do. You need to.
You can look at it the other way and say, now you have more time than ever to actually take 5 minutes and read the rules.
You've got more time than you've ever had in your entire career at Rebel to read the rules. Oh, dear. Is that my rant for the week? That just read your rules, people?
Sure. We'll call that your rant for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And by week, we mean, you know, quarterly episode.
I mean, it is a week. It's not been a week since the last episode, and it won't be a week till the next episode, but this is a week.
It is a week, it's true.
I don't know, it's... So, like, Fed, you saying you're king of Rel. What have you got left? What's your rest of your run looking like?
Oh, it is a gauntlet. I've got... 3 Super Bowl champs left? Maybe 2. Next week, I have Mongoose is Loose. And Volcano, not Volcano. Then I have
Volcano. We've seen the model. We've seen the picture. It's Volcano.
Then I have Beard to Death, which is Larkstar on his Norse. Which are, frankly, I'm just calling that game a loss right now, because his Norse are higher TV than the humans with only 2 rerolls, and just. Dirty players, tackles, and guard everywhere, and Mighty Blow. So I just know that game is lost. Then I have Lumi, second Super Bowl winner in my path, with his vampires. He beat me last time we played against each other last season with his vamps when my wizard failed. And then I've got, guy you probably never heard of him called Stauticus and Grungy Desserts for my week 13 match right before playoffs.
That's such a run.
It is a run. I need one more win to clinch a playoff spot. And if I win, I think 4 out of the 5, I'll have clinched first place no matter what happens. Conversely, if Lumi wins all the rest of his games, he's guaranteed first place.
Yeah, but he's playing vampires, so that's a big ask.
That is a big ask.
But also it's Lumi.
I feel like I definitely lose to Larkstar. I feel like I have 50-50 on Stauticus, just on the team and the inducements and all that. I don't feel great against the Chorfs, so I feel like my make or break game is probably Lumi. So that'll be a fun one.
And Finn, you said you're 100% right now, right?
Yep, 700. Obviously, with a week off.
What's your training grounds looking like? Is it good? Is it messy?
I avoided fiction, so I'm happy about that. So I'm happy I avoided fiction with his like 1700 wood elf team.
How is fiction now, wood elves? What happened there?
I have no idea, but he's just. Been dominating, but I've got Stubings, Behagen. I've got Mickey on Kemri, who won a div containing Spoony Bard, T Self, and Horny Cricket, and Mickey beat them all.
That was a statement.
Yeah,
I was gonna say I don't recognize the coach, but I recognize those names he beat. That's a
Yeah, that was
with Kemri.
Yeah, I mean Kemri had good, fairly good early, but still, that's impressive.
It was very impressive from the matches I saw. He's a definitely coach to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure.
One might even say top coach.
One of the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I've got Goblin Marine with Inducement Underworld, and. Whoever came in as a last-minute spot. I'm not sure who it was.
I think it's still working it out, isn't it? Maybe.
The guy's in, but I can't remember who it is. Okay. So, yeah, I'm not too scared of the div. Obviously, I think Mickey and Stubings are the ones to look out for.
Stubings is a weird old duck. Like, Stubings... I feel like he rolls a dice to figure out which Stubings you're going to get that day.
Mm. He's very good when he's good. And
yeah,
when
I've always said, right, Stubings is a brilliant coach. When Stubings is on form when his head's in the game, when he's not busy trying to auto-erotic asphyxiate himself. because he does choke with the best of them. like, he can be so good, but he also chokes with the best of them.
Yeah, I was pretty happy.
It's pressure. Like, if he doesn't care about the match, then he's pretty good. But as soon as he starts feeling pressure, like if the match is streamed or other things, that
you know what I think it is. It's the moment where he was he doesn't, if he's like I'm not going to win this, or if he thinks for a second he's not going to win, it's fine. Right? As soon as he goes, this is a match I thought I was going to lose, but I'm actually in a position to win this. He just, his brain seems to do everything physically possible to make him lose. And if you don't think this is true, go back a couple of seasons to when he played Bleeding Hippies Chorfs in the playoffs and
I don't ever want to watch that match again.
You know who else doesn't want to watch that match ever again?
Stubbings. Closest one to that is probably Arch. Arch XL is the other one that's got a similar fate.
Arch Excel's a great coach as well, yeah. But he does also occasionally just go, what?
Let me go ahead and first action Yeti Blitz in a playoff game.
Every single wrong. In a playoff game, every single turn.
What'll go wrong?
Oh, I love you, man. I've got the single worst segment of my entire season in the next three games.
Oh, good.
I play Khemri into Nurgle into Nurgle.
Ooh.
And the Khemri isn't any normal Khemri, it's Gengar. So,
well, okay.
I'm not...
You'll win.
Like, I think I could win. All of these games are winnable, I think. Looking at my division and how it's played out, I think all of my games are winnable. I just don't know how winnable they'll be after I play these games. Because...
Right, it's the damage.
Yeah, Gengar's got like a 15-man team at the moment, and every single skeleton has Dirty Player. And he's got three piling on Tomb Guardians. And...
It wouldn't be fiction if he didn't. Not fiction, Gengar. It wouldn't be Gengar if he didn't.
No.
Fiction has strength ups. Guess what? Fiction has two more strength ups.
It's the most Gengar team I've seen Gengar ever run. Like, the one thing that's not Gengar is the fact that he's running a Blitzerar with 4 agility and strong arm.
Yeah, I saw that. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
A bit. I'm still trying to figure out who he's passing to. What? Nah, man. It's a strange old team, but it's one of those games where my team's either going to explode or AV8's going to hold strong and it's going to be a very different result.
Well, good luck with that.
And then I've got two Nurgle teams, which is always going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not entirely sure I know how to play Necro into Nurgle.
What TV and Nurgle, though? Because not all Nurgle is equal.
Well, one of them is Humasep, and he's channeled his inner Amazon and he's got three Blodge Nurgle warriors. So I'm not scared of those in the slightest, because they're Blodge warriors.
Yeah, no.
They're going to get given zombies, and they're going to get ignored. I don't know how much I've listened to the podcast, and I don't care. I'm going to tell him that. I'm going to tell him that in the game. Those Nurgle warriors are going to make friends with some zombies, and I'm going to pretend they don't exist for the entire game. Because that's an awful lot of TV that's going nowhere. That's fine. I'm okay with that one. The one claw guy is getting fouled. Every turn. Everyone else... getting ignored. The other Nurgle team.
That's hardly a Nurgle team. Just a very...
The other Nurgle team are a lot more scary, and the problem is I play Humasep third out of the trilogy. So it somewhat doesn't matter about, you know, what's coming. It doesn't matter is that they're not proper Nurgle warriors, because I might have a team full of zombies by then, because I've still got to walk the gauntlet of a real Nurgle team and Gengar. At least if Gengar MNGs anything, it'll survive the real Nurgle team.
Yeah.
So that's something to look forward to. But then I've got a bye week after that, and then I finish out the season by playing one of the most broken Brett teams I've ever seen in my entire life. I feel like I could have done with the bye week and the Brett team somewhere in the middle of this trilogy of terror.
Yeah, just have a week off.
Yeah, you know, you just have a week to recover.
You know how many people ask us for bye weeks just randomly? Like, I got somebody asking for a bye week after the split.
I mean, I'm not saying I need a bye week. I'm saying if I've got one, whether I want it or not. So I'd
it's just weird to me that, like, because there is a bye week and before playoffs, and it's not even a bye week; it's a M&G refresh.
Yeah, you don't get SPP at goal. I think maybe people who've never had it before have heard us talk about it. We've seen us offer it and aren't aware that actually it's not anything particularly good. It's just you get your injuries back.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they want it like every time we get MNGs, even
maybe or whatever. Maybe it's one of those, like, where they just do really well to read the rules.
Well, that too.
Yeah, it's just like any opportunity that somebody might think that there's a tiny chance that maybe Rebel would have put a bye week here. They're just like, oh, I get a bye week, right?
I'll take some free gold, please.
SPP is free after all.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Always.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so other stuff that's going on in Rebel. There's actually a few other bits I wanted to talk about. We've been waffling for at least an hour, which is fairly standard for a podcast. We, to be fair, haven't been on mic for a while, so there's probably an awful lot of waffle going to come out in the next few episodes till we get back to, you know, when the world starts getting a bit more normal and I get more free time, and Fed gets maybe more free time, and, you know, we can actually, like, do slightly more regular ones. We'll probably get better at this again. But I feel like I've forgotten how to do these things. At this point, I'm just saying words and hoping something intelligent comes out.
It's actually how most podcasts are made, I believe.
I think it's how all podcasts are made. All of ours, certainly. But yes, other stuff around Rebel. There's some good news and some less good news. So we'll do the less good news first. I want to say a big thank you to Grandview King, who I don't know if you are aware, but we've talked about it on the podcast before, so you probably are. He wrote the podcast recap article on Rebel News.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, due to things that are going on in lockdown, not having as much free time because, you know, for some reason, lockdown has helped tons of people get free time, but for some of us, it's taken. That was a sneeze. We'll edit that out in post, I'm sure. you know, lockdown's been great for a lot of people, giving them a lot of their free time back because they're working from home, so they don't have the commute, etc., etc. But for some people, it's taken a lot of time away from them, and Grandview King's one of those. And he just doesn't have the time to write the article anymore. And I don't know how many people read it, and he's never been quite sure, and I was like, well, I'm sure I did, and I was on the podcast. I always read it.
This isn't the announcement I was expecting you to say. I thought you were going to mention the fact that we were probably losing the news.
That's coming next. That was okay. Going to dovetail into this. So, yes, if you did read the podcast, I want to say thank you, because I genuinely enjoyed reading the recaps and stuff, because it was always, you know, it was always interesting watching someone try and summarize the podcast without actually saying what happened anywhere in the podcast, because you didn't want to spoil it. You wanted to encourage people to listen rather than use the recap as an excuse to not listen.
He was the TV Guide magazine to our 8 p.m. rom-com.
Yeah, he was, and I think he did a good job, and there was also a dad joke in every single episode, which was fantastic too. He mirrored our style in that perfectly, so I want to say thank you, and I want people who did listen, because I think it, you know, like I say, he had the thing of, I don't even know how many people read this kind of thing, and I get that, like, when you're making content and stuff, I don't know how many, I only know how many people listen to the podcast.
It's often thankless. Often very thankless.
Yeah, it is, and I only know how many people, like, listen to the podcast, because I get an email every week telling me how many people have listened to the podcast. Otherwise, you wouldn't know. You only get it on Twitch, but he gets no metrics on Rebel News. So, like, genuinely, if you did read that, just you know, just drop a thank you in the My Dudes channel or something, because I think it would go a long way. Sadly, the other piece of bad news is that, as Fed was saying, rebel.news, or the website it was on, it sounds like Rebel that's news. Going the way of the dodo, unfortunately, because Gypsy Prince looks like he's retiring from the league after this season.
News.rebelnet. There we go. That's what it is.
Fantastic site, but obviously, if he's not playing here, he's not going to pay for it, and he's certainly not going to work to maintain it. I think, as I understand it from speaking to Heritage Sakara, what happened there was playing humans in Division 2 appears to have broken his soul. And he had a new baby that he's spending a lot of time looking after, and new babies take a lot of free time. So... It's sad to lose Rebel News, I think. I don't know if there's anything we can do to find a way around this. Maybe host the news articles that we still have being produced on Rebel.net? Possibly? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to think of something. But if you're out there and you're hearing this and you had an idea or an opportunity or an interest in trying to contribute a little more to the league, consider this your call to arms to talk to an admin and reach out. We do have the Rebel Press Corps Discord, where a lot of this kind of side of stuff is discussed and gone on. So if you want to swing by there, even if it's not necessarily that you feel like you can write the content, but maybe you just want to contribute in some other way, just swing on by and let people know what you're willing to offer. If it's time, if it's money, if it's effort, anything's good.
Yeah, anything helps there, like, a lot.
Maybe people will use Reddit more without the new site.
People aren't going to read. I don't know, maybe. It's a shame. It's a real shame. Because I enjoy the news articles and stuff that came out, but it is sad. On the topic of contributing to the league, though, there's been a project that has been months in the making, like over a season in the making, and it's Wolf Ramajax who's been doing the legwork on this one. I don't know if you all remember the secret painting booth that got added to Discord that I talked about when everyone was like, you shouldn't talk about that. And I was like, it's a secret. And I was like, well, yeah, but it's my job. One of the benefits of my role is that I get to be the guy that spoils all the secrets. Like, I do. Shut up. Go away. But no, Wolf Ramajax had created a painting thing. He asked for volunteers. He bought one of the Chaos boxes, the minis, to get like a Chaos team and added a Minotaur to it and stuff. And asked for volunteers around the... It was only originally America because of shipping and stuff. And then he had a bunch of, like, European guys beat down his door and go, well, we want to take part too. We'll pay the shipping. Which is awesome. And they have now had each one of the models painted by a different member of the community. And they're all back. They're finally... Because lockdown absolutely killed his ability to get the models back. With everything that's going on with the postal services and stuff, it's been an absolute nightmare by all accounts. Especially with a lot of people who, you know, genuinely, like, there was a picture of Eyes of Mike, was like, when he finished his model and stuff and arranged a drop-off at his local post, like, the service and stuff. There's a picture on there of Mike out in a full mask and stuff out in New York, you know, delivering the model to the post. And it's kind of cool, but it's just, obviously, it's a sign of the current times, right? It's crazy. But anyway, all of the models are back, which is exciting. I've seen them, and they're amazing. There's some incredibly talented painters in Rebel, I'm not going to lie. The next step is that there's going to be... I don't know exactly how it's going to be set up, so I can't describe this overly yet, but there's going to be some form of an auction. And all of the profits are going to be donated directly to Rebel. So whoever wins this awesome tabletop team, Chaos team, that's been painted by the Rebel community, they give whatever they were paying for it to Rebel.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through the pictures now. They look really good.
Yeah, it's absolutely awesome. It's real, really, really cool. And I like the idea as well. It's the amount of work it took, I don't think Wolf was quite expecting it to be so arduous to get it done. And I don't ever think there'll be a round two of this. But, credit where it's due. I don't know when it's going to reach the news, but I'm assuming there'll be an article on Reddit. As soon as there's an article on Reddit, I'll throw it in the Discord announcements. You guys, it's on you to read those. Just saying.
Sure, I'll get right on that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool. Like I said, there'll be full pictures and stuff in the article, I'm sure. But yeah.
It's pretty good. I think I'll definitely put in a bid at some point if it's an auction style.
I don't know I don't know if it's like a secret auction or if it's, I don't know quite how it's going to work. So I'm going to let the man himself tell us about it and we'll work from there. Yeah. I think that's all that's going on. We've just come out of the split, so you guys know what's going on with the split. That means playoffs are actually scarily soon. How many weeks left now?
Was it five, I think, after this week? So
after
five
this
and a half?
Week, yeah. It's like four and a half, isn't it?
Four and a half.
Four and a half?
4.5 weeks.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't feel
You're
like it's
a month
been...
out. Wow. Where'd the season go?
I don't know if I'm ready.
I'm not ready.
It's weird how...
I have 5 to 9 games.
Like, time has kind of got all mushy and slid into each other, hasn't it, at the moment, with everything that's going on. It's so weird. Like, marking the weeks going past, it's been quite tough. I don't know what else to say, really, other than... What, is there any other news? Anything else happening around?
I have news from Rel. Baby Swiss is dead.
Who did it?
The crowd. He turned 16 rock.
Oh, that's so
good. For those of you that don't know, Baby Swiss was an abomination. So when you play orcs, there are positionals that are available to your team that you just probably should not use. They're called goblins. They're bad. Cheese XP and Cheese X was determined to have not just a goblin, but a leveled goblin.
I mean, he's probably the best goblin. He's probably the best orc goblin anywhere in Rebel. Well, he's not anymore.
I mean... when he was in existence, sure. But the best of the worst is still not great.
What did he have?
I'm pulling him up now, yeah.
I think the order he takes these skills in it is kind of important as well to the story.
Yeah, you've got to do it in the right order.
Top 2 in 3B, by the way. But yes. Okay, previous players. Where is he?
I can't believe it was the crowd. That's really so happy.
Denied all of us.
There we go.
Who is he playing before we do the stats? Who is he playing?
I'll find out.
You're going to make me go to a different screen. Yeah, you can find that one, Fins.
Okay. I was asking Fins. It was Fins' news. I was expecting Fins to know. Right, okay, while we figure out who was there. Fed, go ahead.
Alright, so Baby Swiss. On his first level up, he rolled a double. And the first double that this goblin took was pro. Not wrestle, not block. There are merits, I suppose, to taking pro if the only reason that you are having this goblin is for the natural one-turn attempt. But it's the natural one-turn attempt of throwing a teammate of a goblin on an orc team is really not great. I think statistically, you're more likely to succeed with a single move-up blitzer than you are to succeed with throwing.
Yeah, because you've got to remember goblin. When you do a throw a team at one turn, you cannot pass the ball to the goblin. You have to hand it off,
right?
Because throw a teammate counts as your team's pass action, so you can't pass the ball to him. You've got to get it to him. And orcs are slow, so like an orc thrower,
it has to be a perfect kick,
five squares. So yeah, any, you know, the kick instantly ruins throw a teammate kickoffs 50% of the time,
easily. Yeah. So after pro, he got sprint, and then he rolled another double, and for inexplicable reasons. Rather than going with block or wrestle, we went with strip ball, of all things. So we have a double-double goblin on an orc team with strip ball and no block or wrestle. I don't know that strip ball ever got used, except for maybe one time against... which team was it?
Is the threat of strip ball more dangerous than the strip ball itself?
Oh my god!
To quote Haringzod,
not against orcs, not against orcs. But anyway, I think he did get used one time because he pinged me about it to tell me to lay off because I had mercilessly targeted Baby Swiss for years.
Half of the league has mercilessly targeted Baby Swiss.
Then he got sure feet, and because you know he continued to get touchdowns, he also got catch. Now, I want to point out, though, that there are 10 MVPs on this goblin. That is 10 MVPs that could have been going to black orcs that this goblin absorbed. A total of 141 games for the goblin.
141 games for a goblin. I mean, he was niggled as well, right? He wasn't
double
healthy.
Double niggled.
That goblin had more games played than every other player on CheeseX's team that has died. And he has lost over 40 players, including four trolls have died on CheeseX's team. And actually, if you add up all of the total games played by the four trolls that have died on CheeseX's team, they are less than Baby Swiss.
Okay, just as a reminder as well, a double niggled goblin gets casualtied on a 7 on the injury dice. Yeah. On a 6 on the injury dice if you're using Mighty Blow. and he still survives 140 games.
it's a heck of a piece, but I'm glad it's gone.
It's an end of an era. I can't believe I didn't know about this before today.
Mm-hmm.
Only 96 SPP, so he was a long way from legend.
Yeah.
He's a longer way now.
I mean, he got removed every game. Like,
but the question that I'm sure everyone
again,
is asking
it's
themselves...
it's a 7 on the injury dice!
I'm sure the question that everyone wants to know...
How many touchdowns?
No. He has not yet replaced it.
Oh!
No, I don't blame him.
He has the cash. He has 80k.
I don't think he ever will. He can't.
Another goblin.
He can't, because, I mean, the one thing Baby Swiss was good for... was that, yes, it was awful in every single way, but it had skills, so it was awful and did something.
But think of it this way. Think of how efficient the new goblin would be by comparison. This goblin cost him...
Well, then you just use the term. 40, how efficient 80. Will a goblin be on this orc team?
So the goblin that he used to have was 170k of bloat. Now a new goblin's only 40k of bloat. That's like a whole wizard that he's saving.
I mean, he's basically saving a wizard.
just think of the savings.
You sound like Haringzod's armor shop.
I'm pretty sure I saw him say he wants to replace it at some point.
Of course.
Well, I want to win the lottery. It doesn't mean I'm going to.
Well, at this point, it looks like we will be seeing a CheeseX goblin in playoffs.
What div is he? Where is he?
3B. And currently tied for first place at 19 points.
And now he's getting more wizards. He might give...
And now, exactly. Now he's not giving away a wizard to every single opponent.
I can't believe that's happened. You know what? It's made me happy because it was just funny. You know that it's it's been so long in the waiting. But I'm kind of a little bit sad for him because I know he loved that player, and but I'm not that sad.
I think he still has one original piece. I don't know, he has two, it looks like. He's got Gaillard, which is the blitzer that's movement 5 and niggled, but a legend at 380 SPP.
That's the blitzer, by the way, that he used to beat Gengar.
Right, that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And he's got Muffa Metal Mouth.
That's a Black Orc, right?
Who's a Black Orc that's movement busted.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't his. Wasn't that 91 someone SPP. Else's that he's bought?
That would not surprise me.
It's not cheese related, is it?
But I mean, this team has been around for
I don't
so
know. Have you
long.
Ever have you ever bought a cheese called Muffa? I don't
I mean, cheese that I'm familiar with, it's probably not the kind that you want to eat.
Did it taste metal in your mouth? I mean, the wrong time of the month, maybe. Fed, we need to stop. We need to stop.
It's a different kind of mold.
Oh, God. No. Stop. Bad. Us. Bad. I don't know, man. Like, it's the end of an era. It's...
Yeah.
Rel's never going to be the same again. If anything,
probably
it's going to be
slightly better.
Better.
I would say, probably for the better.
It's going to be about 170 TV better.
People are actually going to have to try a little bit harder to beat Cheese.
Well, I mean, they clearly haven't been trying hard enough if he's top of the division.
It's 3B. You demote low enough.
I'm in 4C. Don't stop. It's only my second season. It's only my second season.
Imagine being in a Div 4.
You usually are in your second season, to be fair. Just saying.
The only thing that was comparable for me was when I had the second season of Kislev. Oof.
Hang on, weren't you in a Div 4 with your rats?
Never.
Nope.
Well, no, you went Div 2, didn't you? Because you did really well.
Jumped from 5 to 2.
Yeah, I just don't think one season Necro are going to do that well in playoffs. Prove me wrong, guys.
Always,
but...
always a hope and dream. You could be the next... God, what was his name? Last season was Popsicle. You could be the next Popsicle. Mm-hmm. Who ends up just by Nuffle's will ending up in the round of 16.
I'm in shock. I don't know what to say. It's a thing. Yeah, so... Have we got anything else that's happening? Is anything else going on right now?
Nothing current. I know we're beginning, because I guess it is that time of the season, we're beginning our looks at next season already. Talking about off-season things and changes towards what we want to do at the start of the next season.
Yeah, there was a ping that came out that someone had an idea about something, and I went, they'll message me directly if it's important.
Well, now you just invited it, but I mean...
No, I mean in the admin channel.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't know. We still have the same issues. We can't figure out a way to incentivize coaches to just play the game, to want to play the game. And that gets really hard when coaches come to us and say, these coaches over here are abusing one thing because they don't want to just play the game. So, I don't know.
Just play the
game. I
don't think
you can ever solve for that.
It does surprise me how much Blood Bowl coaches like sign up for stuff and then go, I don't actually want to play this game. But you signed up. Well, why did you sign up if you didn't want to play?
Because I wanted to play 1700 TV humans.
Well, you know what? You can go to Div 1 and do that. And then they'll beat the snot out of you by all accounts.
But you ended up matching me against 2300 Nurgle, and you know that's scary.
I don't
want to play now.
If it's any consolation, it's not scary for the Nurgle.
You know, it should be, though. Like, a coach in that position should just go all in on a foul, turn 1, turn 2, turn 3, and then one way or another, they'll either have a numbers advantage or they'll have the numbers disadvantage that they thought that they were going to have in the first place.
But the numbers disadvantage isn't dead players.
Right.
I was talking to Gerber earlier. And I said I will always remember that when I played Hippies Nurgle, back when I think I was playing Nurgle as well, and we ran into each other in like our second season, and he had a Claw Pom Killer and I didn't. And I just said, open chat, and said, not in like a collusion kind of way, but I opened chat and said, I just want you to know that if that guy piles on, I'll foul him. He will get fouled. No matter what it takes, no matter where he is, if he piles on, I will find a way to foul him. And I wasn't saying, don't foul, or don't pile on. I wasn't saying, let's play a friendly game of you know, not trying to hurt each other's players. I was just warning him that there was a foul in that guy's future. That was the long and the short of it, was that this is something that is going to happen to you. Sure enough, Hippie piled on turn one. I set up a chain push, pushed all of the players off him to unmark the guy, did a 4+ rotter dodge, and fouled him. No assists. Badly hurt him, no regen. And then I opened chat back up and went, I told you.
It's the only real recourse against the killer piece.
Yeah.
And it always amuses me the amount of teams that just don't foul.
Like, this is an argument I always had against Papanasi's Orcs. I used to say to people in the Big O, why are people... Like, this guy piles on with four Orcs every turn. Why is no one just going, well, alright, I'm just going to gang foul one of your Orcs, and then I'm going to gang foul the next Orc, and then I'm going to gang foul the next Orc.
The same people in the same breath would also say that turn 16 fouling was bad sportsmanship.
We're going to get to that in a minute. Right? My argument was, well, just foul him. And they were like, yeah, but if we foul him and get sent off, we're down men. And I was like, yeah, but if you let him pile on for 16 turns without any threat of response, without, you know, if you're going to let him do this to you without any counterplay and counterattack, and, you know, he's not going to have to pay the price for fouling on, then you're going to be down men anyway because he's been piling on for 16 turns.
And guess what happened? Papa Nasty went to the playoffs every single season that he played that team.
I mean, he is a good coach, but also, like...
No one fouled him.
Yeah. I'm genuinely...
What happened in playoffs? He got fouled.
No, but it's... This is my thing, is like, yeah, kill coaches are scary because they kill your players. I get that. It's not always nice. But it turns out that if you foul, you've got a chance of stopping them from killing your players. I don't know, man.
The best chance you got. I mean, it's much better than
just letting it happen.
Blitzing random linemen and waiting to see what his response is and hoping that he doesn't hit your good players.
Yeah, if you're trading blitzers with a claw pommer, you're almost always going to come out worse off if you don't have a claw pommer too.
Right.
Part of it's waiting for him to not be on the floor as well. Like, you're just praying that he stays standing up one turn so you can hit him. Like,
that's why stand firm's so good. It's like they blitz him to stand firm and they don't knock you down and you're like, hi, you're getting chinned. And that's
the thing with my rats, and that's why like this human team went so, or the game with the humans went so bad, is like I don't get the luxury of leaving my killers up because there's nowhere safe to put them, especially when I'm down numbers. So it's like I'm piling on to stay safe, and I hope you foul me because I want you to get sent off.
Yeah.
Yeah, a passive removal here is better than the alternative.
Right. I don't have the luxury of choosing to stand up and hide behind orc, black orcs, you know? It's, yeah. But yes, foul. Make sure that should be your response to a 2300 Nurgle team. Make it a 2100 Nurgle team by the time you're done with it.
But yeah, by the by, if you're either of my Nurgle opponents in the next 3 weeks, yes, you will be getting fouled. I'm sorry, I don't have three dirty players to, you know, because I couldn't think of anything better to put on them. Oh, I did. This was the best option. You won't think so by the end of our games.
We'll call that our talking point.
I was gonna talk about fouling, actually, because... you know, it's a good dovetail because it actually came up on the Blood Bowl subreddit.
I saw that comment. I saw you commented on it.
Yeah, I left quite a lengthy post. But there was a lot of... I think it's interesting. The Blood Bowl subreddit's a bit weird at times. Because there's a lot of people who will fly off on just really short, this is right, because it says it's right. And it's, it, you know, it kind of sometimes feels like you need to maybe take a bit more of a minute to explain why. The guy was a Brett coach saying, I get, like, he was getting beef from an orc coach after he injured two peasants with regular blocks, and then he turned around and fouled one of the orc players, and the orc player wasn't happy or something. And I was just like, what?
Yes, so... your opponents will be unhappy when you don't let them win the way they want to win.
Yeah, I too am unhappy when my Claw Mighty Blow Werewolf doesn't remove a player every single turn and then score the touchdown and then get a roll of six on the winnings. And yeah, but you know, that's not your problem.
I'll never understand people getting upset about their opponents doing the right things to win the game.
I see so much of this as well. Like people saying, oh, I get abused for fouling. Or, is it okay to foul and stuff? And apparently there's loads of people who absolutely hate fouling and think you're a horrible person for doing it. But I never see them posting anything.
What, the people who hate fouling?
Yeah.
Usually they just shout at you in chat and then bitch on the Steam forums.
The Steam forums, that's where they go.
No, literally, if you go on the Steam forums, about 40% of all posts is people complaining about fouling, and another 40% is people complaining about dice existing.
And we've talked about it before. I think it's entirely because they call it a foul.
Mm-hmm.
Because traditional sports, a foul is breaking the rules.
I mean, a foul is technically breaking the Blood Bowl rules because you can get sent off for it.
No, it's in the rules. The rules say that if you roll a double, then you get sent off. But the option to foul, you get a one-time foul per turn. Now, if you were fouling multiple times in the same turn, then yeah, that would be breaking the rules, and that would be something that someone could complain about. But to do your one foul action every turn is part of the rules, part of the game. It's the way it was designed. There are teams that are designed around fouling. If you have a 40,000... value piece, that's a fouling piece. And if it has general access, that's a dirty player piece. And if you have agi access, it is not a sneaky get piece.
that's the best point you made in that entire sentence was no, sneaky get is bad. But no, it's I don't get it. A lot of the time it's kill coaches as well. A lot of kill coaches suffer from this really weird psychological issue where it's only okay for them to kill you.
The same people
and
that
they get very, very
when
cross.
They get matched against another kill team, they like want to put all their players on the goal line on turn 9.
But no, Finns, I mean, you're a rat coach, and Tootford, you're a rat coach too. Like, yeah, it is pretty much okay for us to kill you because you're rats. It's like you go into a match expecting your players to get killed, but also you, as rat coaches, have the, you know, counterplay against that by killing stuff yourself with your Storm Vermin and your own dirty players. Like,
yeah.
I never lose more players than when I don't have a threat on the ball. As soon as the threat on the ball is gone, my player's survival rates just plummet.
I mean, the thing is, if you're trying to threaten the ball, they have to dedicate 4 to 5 players to carry and protect the ball, depending on where on the field they're protecting it. If you have no threat on the ball and they can potato off on their own, that allows them to give 10 players just the freedom to go and mark up your players and punch your players. It's one of the things I did against the Chaos Coaches. I might have got the snot kicked out of me in clan, but I never stopped trying to fight him on terms that I could hopefully set up. Like, you know, I punched his Claw Pommer every single option I had. I fouled his Claw Pommer every single option I had, because if I didn't keep trying to knock it down and put it out and stun it or anything, it was going to go wild on me. It's just how it goes, right?
Yeah.
You tend to find, like, the other thing as well is that people can do is if you are giving them a lot of pitch and a lot of space and aren't pressuring them, they're a lot more free to foul you as well.
Mm-hmm.
I find. Which hurts, because fouling is legitimately more dangerous than claw bomb.
Only thing worse and more scary than a foul is a surf. And it amazes me how many people give up surfs when they're down players because they think that they just want to save them. I saw a dwarf coach this week do that very same thing, where he's just like, well, this is where I'm going to get surfed now. Because, you know, I'm down to three players against Nurgle, and I want to get my team off the pitch. And it's like, well, let them foul you. It's at least better than getting surfed where there's no armor roll.
Yeah. Make them lucky down first as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never understood the whole getting upset that people can kill, are allowed to kill your team, especially when you're playing a team that wins by killing the opposing team.
Yeah.
That's like, they don't want the script to be turned.
Yeah. I mean, you know, fouling's just, it's a huge part of the game for the majority of the teams, right? Like, you can't, it's not okay, it's not friendly or whatever, when it's such a big part of the game. And like, especially with teams like Skaven, like, there is so much strategy to your fouling game on Skaven, because you're Skaven, you're hurting for players all the time, you're constantly getting removed, and you have to balance that with,
it's knowing when to foul, when not to foul, what's valuable to foul, and, you know, what is a foul that, even if it puts you down players, is worth taking, I think, on Skaven. That's such an interesting part of the player.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, Bretonians, where you just, you know, you have 10 peasants and you can foul every turn.
Jesus, on a Bretonian team, I'd foul anything with a skill. on my Necro team, I'd foul anything with a skill. And if I get up enough players, I'll foul stuff without skills. I've fouled a skillless lineman before, because an elf lineman is 70 or 80k and my dirty player zombie is only 60.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still a good trade. My dirty player zombie can basically only be a body and foul you, whereas an elf lineman can still get the ball because he's still RG4. It's crazy. Of course I'm fouling elves. Unless there's like three of them and they can't win. Seems a bit much. The other thing that about fouling, that, or the counter argument I've seen, is that people like make this like argument that it's bad because you don't get SPP from it. Genuinely, why would you do that? You don't get SPP.
I see that too.
Who cares? It's Blood Bowl.
But why? When did SPP become the reason we play the game?
Well, SPP's free.
yeah, but when did it become the reason rather than a byproduct of winning the game? Like, if do you only take actions in a turn that give you SPP? Does that mean you go, oh, I could surf? I could surf that player, but I'm not going to.
Blood Bowl, if you could get SPP for fouling,
I don't know if it would be less or more.
I think it would definitely burn through players faster. Like, people that get burned out on the game and quit, it's usually following like getting pitch cleared and destroyed. And I think that would just, it would definitely encourage people to foul as much as they should be fouling right now. But it would destroy teams much faster. I think teams right now are artificially alive a lot more than they should be because of a lack of fouls.
So is the podcast 102 wrap-up message going to be foul more people?
Well, if you are the kind of coach that is upset seeing 2,300 Nurgle, I am not. And if I play 2,300 Nurgle, it's because that means I'm getting 600 inducements. And as Skaven, I can do a lot of things with 600 inducements.
I bet one of those hundreds is probably a bribe.
Probably. But
and another is two line rats.
Yep.
And there's your family game.
But I think the kind of coach that is the kind of coach that complains about fouling in the first place, doesn't want to play against kill teams, doesn't want to play against kill teams that are bigger than their kill teams, I think all those are the same mentality, the same people, and they are the ones that should be fouling the most, are the people that are annoyed and afraid of fouls. Because it's not like orcs can't foul. Orcs have great fouling game.
Yeah, because
everything can foul.
You know the weakness of orcs' fouling game is that because is their number of positionals. They have eight positionals, not counting the throw. They have four Black Orcs and four Blitzers on the team, which means on your defensive LOS, usually go your three linemen. But if you put your three linemen on the LOS, who are the only guys who are going to have dirty player on your team as well, it's often very, very difficult to foul because they spend half the game being knocked down and standing back up and being knocked down again.
Right.
That's the weak. That's the one weakness of an Orc fouling game.
Yep.
Sad but true. I'm learning this in clan. I actually put a rookie Black Orc on the line so I could keep my dirty player back.
That's what I always did. I always only ever had three good Black Orcs and one that was constantly dying in online scrimmage.
is that why he was always bad? Was because he was always on the LOS?
Yes. Always.
I think that's just every Orc team, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as you start losing linemen, who goes to the LOS next? It's Black Orcs, isn't it?
Yep.
You might not like it, but it's how it works. But yeah, I just wanted to have a quick rant about fouling because we dovetailed into it, but also like I just remembered that thread, and you know we try and do like talking points whenever we can on the podcast, and we've talked about fouling in depth before, but. With a comment like that coming up and seeing it was like 80-odd responses and some of them were not positive towards it. A lot of them were. Mm-hmm. A lot of them. But some of them were like, you shouldn't foul. Why? I felt like it needed to be addressed.
It's fun. Fouling people's players and killing them is fun. That's why we play the game, right?
Yeah, you know what? There are some people who do. Orabi players has fun by killing your players. Orabi has fun when you kill his players because he just likes watching players die. It's one of the purest, and I think it's. I wish more people could embrace the Orabi attitude towards it because yeah, he does like to kill your players, but he'll sit there and laugh his head off when his team gets wrecked too. And there's not a lot of coaches you can say that about.
No.
And I always like giving him credit for that because it's just such a pure attitude, you know. Like,
yeah. Right. I just think play the game you want to play the game, and let your opponent do what they want to do. If they're not breaking the rules, you have nothing to be upset about.
Yeah, and just because it's called a foul doesn't mean it's breaking the rules, because that's not how the game works. And if a ref decides it is breaking the rules, you get sent off.
Hey.
That's the point of send-offs. And I'm going to, you know, we're going to move on, and I'm going to leave you with a little story about there's a woman in the street standing next to a car crying, and two soldiers come up to her and say, you know, what's going on? What are you crying about? And she goes, I've locked my keys in the car. The first soldier goes to her, don't worry, love, I can fix this. Whips off his trousers, rolls them into a ball, and rubs them on the car door. And then the door just unlocks. The woman's like, what? How did you manage that? He goes, yeah, it's simple. These are my car keys. The second soldier goes, you think that's good? That's nothing. Takes off his pants, rolls them into a ball, and rubs them against the ignition, and the car starts. The woman's like, what on earth is going on? What's happening now? You see, Mom? These are my cargo pants.
Nice.
Wow. Well done. the story. That was a story.
You know what? I'm so glad we didn't have Swag Tusk in the middle of it going, why is the car locked? Why did she lock her keys in the car?
No, I was worried about that too. I was like, don't pause for too long.
You know what? I had my the mouse over Finn's name ready to mute him if he opened his mouth at the wrong time.
I was actually thinking of Swag Tusk. Just don't say anything. Don't do a Swag Tusk.
Finn's just sat there going, I've quite enjoyed being on the podcast. I do want to get invited back.
So did you guys end up hearing about the deaf girl who didn't show up to her court case yesterday? She lost the hearing.
Wow.
That's a, I like Elven Fed. That's good.
So, yeah, I've got a friend, he keeps telling me, cheer up, man, it could be worse. You could be stuck underground in a hole full of water. I know he means well.
You know what, I don't think we've had that before, but that sounds like such a Kedgeroo's joke.
And that was exactly a Kedgeroo's joke, I was thinking that too.
I don't know why, but I just, like, as you were saying it, I was like, this is such a Kedgeroo's joke. I don't know why. I don't know what makes it a Kedgeroo's joke. I don't know why.
It's probably from the same list.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, but yeah. So that was us. That was episode 102. I hope you have enjoyed the show. What of it there was. It's been a bit wobbly. Like I say, right, when we get back... words. It's exactly what the point I'm trying to make right now. We're a bit out of practice. So we're definitely going to get better at this once we start doing them a little more often. Because we got really, like, the start of the year, I thought we were in such a good rhythm, Fed. We could knock them out in, like, and it felt really natural and smooth, and we were killing it. And then...
Blame Corona.
Yeah. You know, wear your masks, guys, and then we can get the lockdowns over and done with, and we can get back to normal, and we can do more podcasts. No, but seriously, we're going to get better once we get back into the rhythm of it. I promise. Probably.
I bet anyway, people like this even more.
Finns, thank you very much for joining us. I hope you've had a good time.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Always a good time.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been interesting being surrounded by rat coaches and just going, oh my God, I wish you guys would play a real team.
Just try hard. Or don't try hard. I don't care.
Fed, as always, my friend, it's a genuine pleasure.
Great time.
Right, we'll see you in a couple of weeks? Question mark? For episode 103, if you stay tuned, you'll...
We'll see you soon.
I'm sure I'll tag an advert to the end of the stream and stuff, so thank you all very much for listening. You all stay classy now, folks. And you thought I'd forgotten about you, didn't you? Well, of course I haven't. Special thanks go to all of our Patreons. Caustic Q. We've got... Oh, it's changed everything. Mr. Monster. We've got someone whose real name I've got and no other names. I can't talk about who you are. Another one. Please give me your details. Cool Kiwi. If you'd link your Discord to Patreon, by the way, it makes it so much easier for me to tell who you are. So I can thank you. Thank you to Rex Longbourn. Thank you to Lord Brainlord. Thank you to Dwiggy. I know I recognise some of them. Thank you to Tate Spyro. Thank you to Beer Monkey. Thank you to Rugbart. Thank you to T-Cold. Thank you to Viking Cop. Thank you to Roberto. We've got, who else we got down here? Another one, full name, Lord Owl. We've got Quack Dwizzle 6, Practical Snow, Big Air. We've got Hubster. We've got Dr. Hep. We've got Big Chuck. We've got Deschutenheim. We've got Gunnerside. We've got Finny, who's just been on the show, funnily enough. We have Aldar. We've got King of Chan. Heretic Sakara. Mr. Kervalian. Arch Excel. Coach Cool. Dr. Nick. Cthulhu Collector. Jeff. Ezekiel. Easy Kyle, even. Oh, I always get that one wrong. Good friend of mine as well, Easy Kyle. I haven't spoken for ages. I'm going to have to reach out and see how he's doing. Grandview King, and of course, Zinge. That is our list of patrons. Thank you so very much for continuing to support. It's not just us, it's Rebel in general, and I know that we've not been keeping up on our end of the content. I hope you understand why. Well, obviously, I'm thinking you do because you're keeping up the Patreon support. Anyway, the money is still going into the Rebel pool. We're still buying prize money, a prize with it. If, by the way, you owed a prize from the previous season, from like playoffs and such, please drop me a message now. I've got in touch with our supplier, and they are now shipping again. There was a break in shipping because of... Corona and stuff. They had issues at the factories. They're now shipping again at full speed. So if I owe you a mug or a mouse mat or whatever I owe you, please run me down on Discord. Get me your details and I'll get them sent out to you as soon as possible. I'm going to drop a message in the Discord too to back that up. But guys, seriously, thank you. You are... The Patreons don't necessarily make the league run, that's the admins. The Patreons allow the league to be run at the level we run it at because they provide all of the prizes, and I love that we can give out so much cool stuff to the community. So, it trust me, it means a ton, guys. Thank you very much for that. And finally, because we always end with an advert, and because we've been talking about some specific werewolves, we will teach you now how to get those werewolves ready for your new season.
Bro, you tired? You tired of clicking around and winning? You tired of carrying your team with just two players? You tired of having swole wolves? Of course not. So let's get your only meaningful players jacked. Fiction's Gym is here to help you do just that. We've got weights, we got treadmills, we got chew toys. We've been training werewolves since they were werepups. And if one of your jacked wolves falls down, we've got another one ready to take his place. Membership has never been cheaper. Just remember to pay your golem tax every season, and we'll have you seeing gains before you know it. Swole wolves are not guaranteed mighty blow. If your wolf is defective, please consult your nearest physician or mental health professional. Terms and conditions may apply.
Thanks again for listening, guys. You all stay classy.